Imagine waking up tomorrow and realizing nothing external has the power to disturb you anymore. Not a careless word, not a cold stare, not even the silence of someone you once cared about. Imagine a life where your peace isn't fragile, where it's not a candle flickering in the wind, but a fire quietly burning from within, steady, resilient, untouchable. Most people move through life like open wounds, feeling every breeze as a storm, every whisper as a roar. But what if sensitivity didn't have to mean suffering? What if you could keep your heart open, your spirit alive, without letting the chaos of the world dictate the rhythm of your mind? This isn't about becoming numb. It's about becoming wise, about mastering the art of feeling deeply without being shattered easily, about standing in the middle of noise and staying silent inside. And that journey starts with learning that peace is not something you find. It's something you build, one thought, one breath, one choice at a time. Today, we're going to walk together through the quiet corridors of inner calm. We'll explore why peace isn't a gift, but a discipline, why not every feeling deserves your full attention, and how mastering your reactions can change the way you experience life itself. So, take a deep breath and let's begin. Peace is not a gift, it's a discipline. Most people think peace is something that happens to them, a result of perfect circumstances, quiet mornings, no stress, no conflict, no chaos. But real peace, the kind that stays with you even in the middle of a storm. That kind of peace is not handed to you. It's trained, it's earned, it's practiced, daily, silently, and often painfully. You don't just wake up calm one day. You become calm by choosing again and again not to feed the chaos. You build inner calm every time you don't answer an insult with an insult. Every time you notice your rising anger and breathe instead of break. Every time you want to fight back, but instead you let stillness speak for you. That's not weakness, that's self-mastery in action. Because peace isn't passive. It's not sitting on a beach far from the noise. It's being able to sit with yourself when your mind is loud and still not believe every thought it throws at you. It's knowing how to return to your center, even when the world tries to pull you in every direction at once. And that kind of peace doesn't arrive overnight. It's not found in books or quotes or one-time decisions. It's carved into your nervous system through repetition, through presence, through learning how to choose your focus, again and again. There will be days when your emotions want to take control, days when people say things that sting, when life doesn't go as planned, when your old wounds ache. And those are the exact moments when the real work begins. That's when you train your attention, your posture, your breath. You don't react. You observe. You don't deny the emotion, but you don't let it drive either. You pause, and in that pause, you reclaim your power. It's not about becoming unfeeling. It's about becoming unshakable. There's a world of difference, so if you've been waiting for peace to find you, stop waiting. Build it. Choose it. Sharpen it like a blade. Cultivate it like a garden. Because the truth is simple, your peace will never be stronger than your discipline. And the more you practice this discipline, the more unbothered you become. Not because you stopped caring, but because you finally learned what's truly worth your care. You're not obligated to feel everything deeply. It's tempting to believe that depth of feeling is the highest form of humanity, that if you don't feel everything deeply, constantly, you're somehow lacking. But this is a beautiful lie the world often sells to sensitive souls. A lie that burdens your heart with every passing shadow, every careless word, every silence heavy with misunderstanding. The truth is, You are not required to live at the mercy of everything you encounter. You are not obligated to turn every passing discomfort into an emotional wound. Feeling is natural, but drowning in every ripple of life is not strength, it's self-abandonment. When you feel everything too deeply, without filter or reflection, your mind becomes a battlefield where even minor skirmishes leave deep scars. Every unanswered message feels like rejection. Every disagreement feels like betrayal. Every distance feels like abandonment. But life isn't always speaking in catastrophes. Most of the time, life is neutral. It's our interpretation, magnified through the lens of unchecked sensitivity, that turns neutral events into personal tragedies. You have the right, the duty even, to step back and see things clearly, to ask, is this truly about me, or is this a projection of my fears, my old wounds, my unhealed places? You are not a character in everyone's story. You are not responsible for reading hidden meanings into every silence or deciphering every flicker of expression on someone's face. Sometimes people are distracted. Sometimes people are dealing with storms of their own you cannot see. Their behavior is rarely a reflection of your worth. It's a reflection of their journey. When you learn to filter reality through clarity instead of raw emotion, you don't become cold. You become conscious. You stop bleeding for battles that were never yours to fight. You stop draining your spirit, trying to decode the intentions of people who can barely understand their own hearts. You step out of the exhausting theater of assumptions, and you choose peace instead. Think about it. How many moments of your life have been wasted interpreting, reinterpreting, and reliving events that meant little to nothing in the grand flow of your existence? How many sleepless nights? How many strained smiles? How many unnecessary apologies or self-loathing spirals came from giving too much meaning to things that were never about you in the first place? There's profound liberation in realizing that not everything deserves your emotional investment, that your empathy, your attention, your heart, these are sacred resources. They deserve to be given with intention, not scattered carelessly over every minor disturbance. You are allowed to say, "This isn't mine to carry. This doesn't define me. This moment, this silence, this slight, it does not deserve a throne in my mind." You can observe the waves of emotion without drowning in them. You can feel the sting of a moment without letting it anchor itself in your soul. You can witness the unfolding of life without losing yourself to every shifting wind. And ironically, when you stop overfeeling, you actually feel more authentically. You feel with greater depth, not greater chaos. You experience emotions as they are, not amplified, not distorted, but pure, immediate, real. You give yourself space to grieve when grief is true, to celebrate when joy is real, to connect when connection is mutual. Without the constant background noise of overreaction, your emotional life becomes richer, not poorer. This discipline of feeling what's true without magnifying what's fleeting is not a denial of sensitivity. It is the elevation of it. It is taking the raw material of empathy and sculpting it into wisdom. It is protecting your inner sanctuary so that you can meet life with an open heart, but a steady one. So the next time you catch yourself spiraling over an unanswered text, a distracted conversation, a moment of coldness from someone you love, pause. Ask yourself, is this truly about me? Step back. Let go. Choose clarity over assumption. Choose peace over emotional exhaustion. Because you are not obligated to turn your heart into an open wound for every passing moment, you are allowed and deeply encouraged to protect the sacred ground of your mind, to reserve your depth for what truly deserves it. You are not cold when you do this. you are wise. And in that wisdom, you finally find a tenderness that does not destroy you. It strengthens you. Sensitivity without strength becomes self-sabotage. There is something beautiful, almost sacred, about being able to feel the world deeply, to sense the subtle changes in a room's energy, to notice the tremble in someone's voice that others miss, to carry an unspoken empathy for invisible struggles. Sensitivity is not a flaw, it is a gift, but only when it's anchored in strength. Without strength, sensitivity turns inward like a blade, cutting not through confusion, but through your own spirit. It becomes a form of self-sabotage, an endless cycle of overthinking, overfeeling, and ultimately overwhelming yourself into silence, paralysis, and pain. You were not born to be crushed by your ability to feel. You were born to use it, to navigate, to connect, to understand. But that requires a foundation of resilience. Without it, you become a prisoner of your own perceptions. Every slight feels like a betrayal. Every misunderstanding feels like a wound. Every shift in someone's mood feels like a reflection of your inadequacy. And life becomes exhausting, not because it is cruel, but because you have given your emotional weather to forces outside yourself. Strength does not mean hardness. It doesn't mean building walls so high that nothing can touch you. It means learning to be open without being shattered. It means knowing the difference between what deserves your tenderness and what demands your detachment. It means understanding that you can be both sensitive and sovereign, that you can feel deeply without handing over the keys to your inner peace. Imagine a violin, finely tuned. Its strings are sensitive to the slightest touch, but they are not weak. They hold tension and strength together in perfect harmony, creating beauty. Without tension, the strings would make no sound at all. Without resilience, sensitivity collapses into noise. In the same way, your emotional sensitivity needs the strength of clear boundaries, of conscious self-respect, of deliberate focus. Otherwise, you end up absorbing pain that isn't yours, carrying responsibilities you were never meant to bear, and interpreting life through the lens of constant vulnerability rather than balanced awareness. And there's another trap. When sensitivity is left unchecked, it often leads to self-centeredness without meaning to. Every experience becomes about you, how you were hurt, how you were misunderstood, how you were neglected. You begin to live through the lens of your wounds, interpreting the world as a series of personal offenses. And slowly, the world shrinks, not because it has changed, but because your heart has turned inward on itself. True strength allows you to step outside of that, to see other people's pain without making it about your own, to witness someone's anger or coldness and understand that it's a reflection of their inner struggle, not a condemnation of your value. To accept that sometimes life is difficult, people are imperfect, and pain happens, but none of it has to define you unless you allow it. Building emotional strength is not about numbing yourself. It's about nurturing yourself. It's about recognizing when to hold space for your feelings and when to gently guide yourself back to clarity. It's about cultivating the ability to sit with discomfort without letting it rewrite your story. And yes, it takes practice. It takes patience. But it is the path to true emotional freedom. Because when sensitivity is paired with strength, it becomes wisdom. It becomes a light you carry into the world. A light that sees clearly, feels deeply, and yet stands unshaken. A light that listens without losing itself. That loves without losing its dignity. That grieves without losing hope. The world doesn't need you to harden. It doesn't need you to close off your heart or silence your tenderness. It needs you to be strong enough to keep your heart open even when it hurts, to keep your spirit alive even when others try to dim it, to choose again and again to be both sensitive and resilient. Because when you master that balance, you stop being at the mercy of the world's storms, and you become the calm within them. Mastering calm begins with mastering your inner dialogue. If you truly listen, you'll realize the loudest voice in your life isn't the world outside. It's the one inside your own mind. Day after day, thought after thought, there's a constant conversation happening within you. And whether you realize it or not, that voice is either building your calm or breaking it. Mastering external challenges without mastering your inner dialogue is like trying to calm a storm by rearranging the clouds. You might shift appearances temporarily, but the turbulence remains. Real calm, lasting, unshakable calm, begins the moment you take responsibility for the way you speak to yourself. Most people allow their minds to run wild. Every fear is indulged. Every insecurity is given a stage. Every minor failure becomes a prophecy of doom. The mind, unchecked, can become a cruel narrator, dramatizing pain, exaggerating threats, replaying regrets, inventing futures drenched in anxiety. And when that voice goes unchallenged, it robs you of peace long before anything in the external world even touches you. Mastering your inner dialogue doesn't mean pretending everything is perfect. It doesn't mean toxic positivity or forcing yourself to chant affirmations you don't believe. It means developing an honest, calm, and resilient conversation with yourself. One rooted in reality, not fear. It's learning to notice when your mind spirals into worst-case scenarios and gently pulling it back. It's questioning harsh self-judgments instead of accepting them as truths. It's replacing catastrophic interpretations with balanced, clear perspectives. For example, when you fail at something, the undisciplined mind might scream, "You're worthless, you'll never succeed." But the trained mind replies, "This is a setback, not a sentence. What can I learn? How can I grow?" When someone withdraws from you, the fearful mind says, "You're not lovable, you're being abandoned." But the grounded mind answers, "Everyone has their own battles. Their distance is about them, not a reflection of my worth." This inner dialogue is not about denial. It's about direction. It's about choosing the thoughts that serve your strength over the ones that feed your weakness. It's about curating your mental environment with the same care you would curate your home, clearing out the clutter, repairing the cracks, letting in the light. And like anything worth mastering, it requires daily practice. It's in the moments when your thoughts start racing that you have to catch them, question them, redirect them. It's in the moments of emotional overwhelm that you have to step back and anchor yourself with words that heal rather than harm. No one can do this for you. No relationship, no achievement, no external validation will ever quiet an undisciplined mind. Only you can rewire the voice inside. Only you can choose to become your own source of calm instead of your own source of chaos. Think of your inner dialogue as the soil from which your emotional state grows. If you plant seeds of fear, self-criticism, and panic, don't be surprised when anxiety blooms. But if you plant seeds of patience, perspective, and resilience, calm will be the natural harvest. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." Those words are not just philosophy. They are a map, A reminder that peace is not a passive state gifted to the lucky few. It is an active practice, an inner discipline, a daily choice to guide your mind instead of being dragged by it. So the next time your heart pounds, your mind races, your fear surges, pause, listen. What is your mind saying to you? Is it a friend speaking or an old wound screaming? Is it the voice of wisdom or the echo of past pain? You can't always control what thoughts arise, but you can always choose which ones you engage with, which ones you believe, and which ones you let go. Master that, and you master your calm. You master your life. Not reacting is a power move, not weakness. In a world that constantly demands instant responses, silence is mistaken for weakness. Composure is seen as a lack of courage, and restraint is often misunderstood as surrender. But the truth is, not reacting, not letting every word, every situation, every provocation pull you out of yourself, is one of the purest expressions of inner power. Anyone can react. A child can react. A wounded animal can react. Reaction is instinctual, automatic, often driven by fear or anger. But choosing not to react, choosing to pause, to observe, to respond only when necessary, and with full command of yourself, that is rare. That is strength. That is a skill most never develop because they are too busy trying to defend their pride or protect their ego. When someone insults you, it's tempting to strike back. When someone misunderstands you, it's tempting to explain endlessly, to argue, to fight for your narrative. But every time you let yourself get dragged into these small battles, you lose something greater, your center, your clarity, your calm. Learning not to react doesn't mean you allow injustice. It doesn't mean you accept disrespect. It means you don't hand your emotional state over to every passing wave of external chaos. It means you are strategic with your energy. You recognize that not every battle is worth fighting, not every opinion needs correcting, not every slight deserves your attention. There's a profound kind of dignity in being able to say, "I see what's happening, and I choose peace over performance." Not because you are weak, but because you are strong enough to understand that real victories are often invisible. That walking away from drama isn't a retreat. It's an advance toward higher ground. Think about the greatest leaders, the wisest teachers, the calmest souls you admire. They are not the ones frantically defending themselves against every critic or lashing out at every offense. They are the ones who stay rooted, who speak only when their words can make a difference, who know when silence speaks louder than noise. Seneca once said, "He who angers you conquers you." And when you think about it, it's true. Every time you react impulsively, you give your power away. You become a puppet in someone else's hands, a mirror reflecting their chaos instead of a light shining from your own source. But when you refuse to react, you create space. Space to think. Space to breathe. Space to choose a response aligned with who you are, not who the moment tries to make you. This practice isn't easy. It requires an immense amount of self-awareness and humility. It requires you to be okay with not always having the last word, not always being understood, not always proving your worth to those who refuse to see it. But it frees you. It liberates you from the exhausting, endless game of emotional ping-pong that most people are trapped in every day. It allows you to move through life like a mountain moves through storms, steady, unshaken, dignified. It allows you to build relationships based on real understanding, not reactive outbursts. It allows you to conserve your energy for what truly matters, your growth, your purpose, your peace. So the next time someone tries to bait you into an argument, the next time life throws a petty annoyance your way. Remember, reacting is easy. Mastery is choosing when and how to respond, and often choosing not to respond at all. Every moment you stay rooted when you could have been rattled, you are not losing. You are winning the only battle that ever really mattered, the battle over yourself. Don't take things personally. Most people act from their own wounds. One of the greatest freedoms you will ever experience is the realization that not everything is about you. That the way people speak to you, treat you, even betray you, often says far more about the state of their own hearts than it does about your worth. But until you see this clearly, you remain vulnerable, open to being wounded by every sharp word, every cold glance, every unmet expectation. Most people are carrying invisible wounds. Wounds from childhood, from broken trust, from disappointments they never fully healed. These wounds shape the way they see the world, the way they speak, the way they treat others, including you. When someone lashes out in anger, it often isn't because you deserve it. It's because they haven't learned to soothe their own pain. When someone withdraws in silence, it often isn't because you failed. It's because they are afraid of vulnerability, terrified of needing someone who might not stay. If you take every word, every behavior personally, you turn yourself into a reflection of someone else's suffering. You lose the power to see clearly, to love wisely, to protect your peace. You begin to dance to the tune of wounds that aren't even yours. And in doing so, you hand over the keys to your emotional well-being to people who may not even know how to hold their own. Learning not to take things personally doesn't mean you tolerate mistreatment. It means you understand the source of it. It means you develop enough inner stability to say, "This behavior reflects their journey, not my value." It means you stop building your self-image on the unstable ground of other people's brokenness. Imagine for a moment how much lighter your life would feel if you didn't internalize every slight. If you could meet someone's anger with curiosity instead of defensiveness. If you could meet their distance with compassion instead of panic. If you could meet their coldness with the simple understanding that not everyone is capable of meeting you where you are. And that's okay. It doesn't make you better than them. It makes you freer than the version of yourself that once needed every person to validate your worth, every conversation to confirm your value. The Stoics taught that it's not events themselves that disturb us, but our judgments about them. And nowhere is this more obvious than in the way we personalize the behavior of others. When we drop the assumption that everything is a commentary on us, we create space. Space to see others more clearly, and space to protect the quiet strength within ourselves. Someone's harsh words may be a reflection of their inner war. Someone's indifference may be a shield they built after being hurt too many times. Someone's betrayal may be the echo of wounds they never had the courage to heal. And yes, sometimes people will mistreat you intentionally, but even then, recognizing that their actions flow from their own brokenness doesn't excuse them. It simply releases you from the need to carry their pain any longer. You were never meant to be the battleground for other people's unresolved struggles. You are here to live, to grow, to love, without chains tied to the unhealed parts of others. So the next time you feel hurt by someone's words or actions, ask yourself, is this truly about me, or is it about something inside them that has nothing to do with me? Let that question be your shield. Let it guard your heart against unnecessary suffering. You are allowed to love people and not carry their pain. You are allowed to set boundaries without feeling guilty. You are allowed to protect your peace without needing to justify it to anyone. The more you practice this, the lighter you become, the freer you become. You walk through life less burdened by every misunderstanding, every disappointment, every moment of rejection, because you know that your value isn't negotiable, and it certainly isn't defined by the wounded hands of others. You begin to live with a kind of quiet nobility, not because you are untouched by life, but because you finally refuse to let life steal the sanctuary you've built inside. Build emotional boundaries, not emotional walls. It's easy, after enough pain, to believe that the answer is isolation, that if you simply wall yourself off, if you build the barriers high enough, thick enough, strong enough, nothing can ever hurt you again. And there's some logic to that idea. If no one gets close, no one can wound you. But what you also lose behind those walls is connection, joy, growth, life itself. There is a difference, a profound difference, between building boundaries and building walls. Boundaries protect your peace while keeping your heart open. Walls protect your fear while imprisoning your heart. Boundaries are conscious, deliberate, and wise. Walls are reactionary, rigid, and suffocating. When you build emotional boundaries, you are saying to the world, "This is where I end, and you begin. This is what I allow in, and this is what I protect." You are not closing yourself off. You are creating a safe space within yourself where your worth is preserved, your emotions are honored, and your energy is directed toward what matters. Healthy emotional boundaries are not about pushing people away. They are about inviting the right people closer and recognizing without bitterness that not everyone deserves a seat at your table. They are about protecting the sacred garden of your inner life from the weeds of manipulation, guilt, or emotional chaos that others may unknowingly or knowingly bring. But walls, on the other hand, are built out of fear, not wisdom. They are reactions to past wounds, not reflections of present truth. When you build walls, you don't just keep pain out, you keep love out, too. You keep growth out. You trap yourself inside a fortress that eventually becomes a prison, and while the hurt may not reach you as easily, neither will healing. The art lies in discerning when to open, when to close, when to step forward, and when to step back, not based on fear, but based on clarity and self-respect. You don't need to shut everyone out to stay safe. You just need to refine your filters. You need to listen more to your intuition, that quiet knowing inside you that often whispers, "This person drains me," or "This situation crosses a line." Honor that voice. Strengthen that voice. Let it guide you without anger or resentment. Because the purpose of a boundary is not to control others. It's to control your exposure to what dims your spirit. It's to honor the reality that while you cannot change how others behave, you can absolutely decide what you allow to affect you. Imagine standing at the edge of a vast ocean. You cannot control the waves, but you can choose where you build your home. You can choose how far you let the tide come in. That is the work of boundaries, to stay connected to the world without being swallowed by it. And boundaries aren't always visible. Sometimes they are silent decisions. The decision not to engage in certain conversations, the decision to say no without guilt, the decision to walk away when your peace is no longer respected. These are boundaries drawn not in anger, but in wisdom and self-love. Seneca once said, "Associate with those who will make a better man of you. Welcome those whom you yourself can improve." This isn't about elitism, it's about stewardship of your own soul. It's about recognizing that your emotional environment shapes you just as surely as your physical environment does. You cannot stay healthy if you live in pollution. You cannot stay peaceful if you constantly invite chaos into your inner world. Setting boundaries will disappoint some people. It will confuse others. It may even anger a few. But remember, your responsibility is not to manage their emotions. Your responsibility is to protect your peace, to live aligned with your values, to create a life where your soul can breathe freely, without apology. And every time you honor your boundaries, calmly, consistently, compassionately, you reclaim a little more of your power. You remind yourself that you are not here to be everything to everyone. You are here to be true to yourself. Because ultimately, a boundary is not a rejection of the world. It's an act of profound love for yourself and for the kind of life you are consciously choosing to build. Train your nervous system to feel safe in silence. Silence is a space most people fear. It is in the absence of noise, of constant stimulation, that the deepest anxieties rise to the surface. Left alone with their thoughts, many begin to feel an almost physical discomfort, a restlessness that demands they reach for a screen, a distraction, a conversation, anything to avoid simply being. But what if silence isn't the threat we imagine it to be? What if silence, when approached with courage, becomes a sanctuary instead of a void? If you want true calm, true resilience, you must train your nervous system to feel safe in stillness. Because without that safety, you will always be reacting, not to the world outside, but to the turmoil within. And much of what we label as overreaction or oversensitivity is simply the nervous system panicking when confronted with the unknown, the unstructured, the silent. It's easy to overlook how deeply modern life conditions us to fear quiet, the endless buzzing of notifications, the background hum of media, the quick fixes of entertainment. They all create a rhythm of constant engagement. And in that rhythm, stillness feels wrong. It feels like something is missing. It feels unsafe. But your nervous system wasn't designed for constant noise. It wasn't meant to process an infinite stream of information without rest. It was meant to cycle, to engage, and then to retreat, to act, and then to regenerate, to move outward, and then to return inward. Without the inward return, without the practice of stillness, you become like an instrument always played but never tuned, slowly falling out of harmony with yourself. Training yourself to feel safe in silence is not about withdrawing from life. It's about giving yourself a place to come home to, no matter how chaotic life becomes. It's about anchoring yourself so deeply in your own presence that the absence of external input doesn't feel like abandonment. It feels like sanctuary, and it begins small. It begins in those moments when you resist the urge to fill every gap with sound, when you sit in your car without turning on the radio, when you wait in line without scrolling through your phone, when you let the evening settle without background noise. These tiny acts of stillness send a message to your nervous system. You are safe. You are enough. Nothing needs to happen right now. At first, it might feel uncomfortable, like an itch under the skin, like an anxiety you can't quite name. That's okay. That's the old programming unraveling. With time and patience, you'll notice something extraordinary. The discomfort fades, and in its place grows a spaciousness, a quiet kind of strength. You begin to realize that silence isn't empty. It's full, full of breath, full of awareness, full of subtle life you can't hear when everything is too loud. In silence, you start to hear your own deeper needs, the ones buried under all the noise. You start to notice the tension you carry in your body, the patterns your mind keeps replaying. You start to reclaim the parts of yourself that were drowned out by endless distraction. And most importantly, you begin to uncouple silence from fear. You stop interpreting stillness as loneliness. you stop interpreting lack of external stimulation as a sign that something is wrong. You stop interpreting the absence of noise as a personal failing. Instead, you start recognizing silence for what it truly is, a space where healing happens, a space where strength is forged, a space where you remember who you are without the world's constant commentary. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul." And it's true, but only if you learn to make that inner retreat a place of safety rather than a battlefield. So the next time you find yourself reaching for a distraction out of habit, pause, breathe, sit with the discomfort, let it pass. Teach your body that you can be still and still be whole, that nothing needs to happen for you to be okay. Because the more you train your nervous system to feel safe in silence, the less you will be ruled by the noise outside you, and the freer you will become to live with clarity, with depth, and with unshakable peace. Calm doesn't mean indifference, it means authority over chaos. There's a common misunderstanding in the world that if you remain calm, especially when things are falling apart, you must not care enough. That if you don't react with urgency, with anger, with visible distress, you must be cold, detached, indifferent. But that misunderstanding says more about our culture's addiction to emotional chaos than it does about the true nature of calm. Calmness isn't apathy. It's authority. It's not a sign that you're unaffected by life, but a sign that you've learned how to respond to life with intention instead of impulse. It's the quiet, deliberate choice to meet storms with steady hands, not because you don't see the danger, but because you know panic never built a bridge through a flood. When you cultivate real calm, you're not tuning out life's difficulties. You're tuning in with a deeper awareness that thrashing against the current only pulls you under faster. Calm is not absence of feeling. It's mastery of feeling. It's choosing not to let temporary emotions drive permanent decisions. It's feeling the depth of sorrow, the sting of betrayal, the rush of anxiety, and still standing rooted, still choosing thoughtful action over chaotic reaction. In moments of crisis, most people look outward for control. They try to fix, to argue, to dominate the external world. But those who truly understand the nature of calm look inward first. They realize that the only thing they ever have complete authority over is themselves, their breath, their focus, their internal state. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus taught, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." And that teaching, simple on the surface, holds the secret to real power. Life will bring storms. People will disappoint you. Plans will unravel. Pain will visit you. None of this is a failure on your part. It's the nature of existence. But how you choose to meet that reality, that's where your freedom lives. Imagine a tree in the middle of a fierce storm. The weak tree snaps in the wind, its roots too shallow, its branches too rigid. But the strong tree, deeply rooted, flexible, patient, bends without breaking. It feels the full force of the wind, but it endures. And when the storm passes, it stands even stronger than before. You are that tree. Your calm is your roots. Your calm is your strength. It allows you to bend when life demands it, without losing yourself. But calm must be cultivated. It doesn't appear by wishing for it. It's built in small moments, when you choose to pause before speaking harshly. When you breathe through irritation instead of lashing out. When you witness your own fear without letting it become your master. It's built when you choose not to escalate a conflict just to prove a point. When you let someone else's anger pass through you without lighting a fire inside your own chest. When you trust that sometimes the best response is no immediate response at all. And the more you practice this kind of calm, the more others will misunderstand you. Some will accuse you of not caring. Some will try to provoke you, mistaking your silence for weakness. Some will think they have the upper hand when you don't argue back. But in time, you'll see, none of that matters, because the goal was never to win arguments or impress the loud. The goal was to live well, to move through life with dignity, to preserve your peace as if it were a sacred fire. Because it is. You will begin to notice how much more energy you have when you're not spending it on unnecessary battles, how much more clearly you can think when your mind isn't clouded by emotional chaos, how much more deeply you can love, create, and experience life when your soul isn't constantly recovering from the wounds of reaction. True calm doesn't mean you're not involved in life. It means you are fully involved, but from a place of strength, not survival. So the next time someone mistakes your calm for indifference, let them. You don't owe anyone the performance of panic. You owe yourself the preservation of your peace. Because in the end, calm isn't about withdrawing from life. It's about showing up fully, with open eyes, open heart, and unwavering control over your own inner world. Your peace is sacred. Protect it ruthlessly. There comes a point in your life when you realize that peace is not just a pleasant feeling. It's not a bonus you enjoy when things are easy. It's the foundation of everything: your clarity, your strength, your happiness, your ability to give to others without losing yourself. And once you recognize how sacred your peace truly is, you stop treating it like it's negotiable. You start protecting it the way a flame protects its last breath of oxygen in a storm. Fiercely, unapologetically, and without hesitation. Your peace is the center of your life. It's what allows you to respond rather than react, to think clearly when others panic, to love deeply without losing your own identity. Without it, every other part of your existence begins to suffer. Your work suffers, your relationships suffer, your dreams fade, your health erodes. Peace isn't a luxury, it's oxygen for the soul. And yet, how often do we give it away cheaply? How often do we let the careless words of a stranger ruin an entire day? How often do we open our hearts to people who have shown us, time and again, that they only know how to take, not give? How often do we stay in places, conversations, habits that drain us, simply because we're afraid to choose ourselves? You don't owe your peace to anyone, not to the friend who manipulates your kindness, not to the family member who guilts you into abandoning your own needs, not to the culture that teaches you that self-sacrifice is the highest virtue, even when it leaves you hollow. Guarding your peace doesn't make you selfish. It makes you wise. It means you understand that you cannot pour from an empty cup. It means you respect your energy enough to invest it where it can grow instead of where it withers. Protecting your peace ruthlessly means saying no, not out of cruelty, but out of compassion for your own soul. It means walking away from battles you could win, but don't need to fight. It means refusing to explain, justify, or apologize for the boundaries you set to keep your spirit intact. It means listening closely to the subtle shifts within you, the tightening of your chest, the draining of your energy, the heaviness that settles after certain conversations or environments. These are your soul's warning signs. Honor them, trust them, and yes, it will cost you. Protecting your peace might cost you relationships built on your willingness to overextend. It might cost you admiration from people who only valued you when you were easy to access and easy to exploit. It might cost you the illusion of belonging in spaces that require you to betray yourself to fit in. But what you gain is worth infinitely more. You gain a life that feels like yours. You gain mornings that begin in calm, not in dread. You gain evenings where your mind is quiet enough to hear your own dreams again. You gain relationships that are mutual, nourishing, real, built not on obligation, but on authenticity. Marcus Aurelius once wrote, "The tranquility that comes when you stop caring what they say, or think, or do, only what you do. This is the heart of protecting your peace, focusing not on managing the world around you, but on mastering the world within you. You are the guardian of your inner world. You are the protector of your own light, and there is no higher duty, no greater responsibility. So be kind, but be clear. Be open, but be discerning. Love deeply, but love yourself enough to walk away when loving others demands you abandon your own soul. Protect your peace like your life depends on it, because in every meaningful way, it does. And as you do, you'll find something extraordinary. The world outside may rage, may roar, may crumble, but within you, there will be a stillness that no storm can touch. True inner calm isn't found in escaping the world. It's found in learning how to move through it without letting it move through you. It's found in building a shelter inside yourself, strong enough to stand even when everything outside shakes. And that shelter is built, choice by choice, moment by moment. When you stop treating peace as a luxury and start treating it as your deepest responsibility, everything changes. You react less. You see more. You carry yourself differently, not with hardness, but with quiet strength. Not with apathy, but with unwavering clarity about who you are and what you allow into your heart. This isn't a path of isolation. It's a path of conscious living. It's the realization that your sensitivity is not a curse to be hidden, but a gift to be protected. That silence isn't emptiness, it's fullness. That boundaries aren't selfish, they're sacred. And that true calm isn't about feeling less. It's about choosing your feelings with wisdom, not weakness. You owe it to yourself and to the life you're meant to live, to guard your peace as fiercely as you would guard the flame of your own soul. Because in the end, it's not about proving anything to the world. It's about creating a world within you that no storm can shake. If this journey resonated with you today, I invite you to carry this calm forward. Protect it. Strengthen it. Let it shape the way you walk through the noise of life. Not untouched by pain, but unbroken by it. And if you found value in this conversation, take a moment to share it with someone who might need this reminder too. Thank you for being here, for choosing reflection over reaction, stillness over chaos, and strength over noise. Until next time, stay rooted, stay present, and stay fiercely at peace.